Thanks again for joining me here at But Now Ministry and Preaching the Gospel That Saves. Today, we're going to begin a new series. We're going to take a break from the other teachings that I had been doing on difficult saints and who is the circumcision and uncircumcision. And we're going to talk about some of these holidays as we go through this holiday season. I have not preached much on the holidays. I preached a little bit about Christmas a couple years back. I just set out a preaching on Halloween. And now let's talk a little bit about Thanksgiving. Now, back in 1791, there was a proclamation for Thanksgiving Day in Massachusetts issued by John Hancock, who, if you did not know, was the signer of the Declaration of Independence. And it was while he was serving as the governor of Massachusetts. The proclamation was issued October 5th, 1791. It was declaring November 17th, 1791, the Day of Thanksgiving. The Commonwealth of Massachusetts, by His Excellency John Hancock, Governor of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, a proclamation for a day of public thanksgiving. In consideration of the many undeserved blessings conferred upon us by God, the Father of all mercies, it becomes us, no only in our private and usual devotion, to express our obligations to Him, as well as our dependence upon Him, but also specially to set apart a day to be employed for this great and important purpose. I have therefore thought fit to appoint, and by the advice and consent of the council, do hereby accordingly appoint Thursday, the 17th of November next, to be observed as a day of public thanksgiving and praise throughout this commonwealth. Hereby calling upon ministers and people of every denomination to assemble on the said day, and in the name of the great mediator, devoutly and sincerely offer to Almighty God the gratitude of our hearts for all His goodness toward us, more especially in that He has been pleased to continue to us so a great measure of health, to cause the earth plentifully to yield her increase, so that we are supplied with the necessaries and the comforts of life, to prosper our merchandise and fishery, and above all, not only to continue to us the enjoyment of our civil rights and liberties, but the great and most important blessing, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And together with our cordial acknowledgments, I do earnestly recommend that we may join the penitent confessions of our sins and implore the further continuance of the divine protection and blessings of heaven upon this people, especially that He would be graciously pleased to direct and prosper the administration of the federal government and of this and the other states in the Union to afford Him further smiles on our agriculture and fisheries, commerce and manufactures, to prosper our university and all seminaries of learning, to bless the virtuously struggling for the rights of men, so that universal happiness may be allies of the United States, and to afford His almighty aid to all people who are established in the world, that all may bow to the scepter of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the whole earth be filled with His glory. And I do also earnestly recommend to the good people of this commonwealth to abstain from all servile labor and recreation inconsistent with the solemnity of the said day, given at the council chamber in Boston, the 5th day of October in the year of our Lord, 1791, and in the 16th year of the independence of the United States of America, by His Excellency's command, John Hancock. God save the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Now, as we continue through his proclamation, the signer of the Declaration of Independence, John Hancock, we are going to dissect this proclamation according to mid-Acts, dispensational, Pauline, right division of our 1769 King James Bible. Now notice the date of this proclamation, 1791. If you have not picked up the book, and it's a two-volume series, it's called Political Sermons of the American Founding Era, and it contains sermons from 1730 to 1805 in Volume 1 and in Volume 2. It's by Liberty Fund, and it's edited by Ellis Sandoz. And in it, it contains sermons from Benjamin Coleman, Joseph Sewall, Elijah Williams, George Whitfield, Charles Chauncey, Samuel Davies, Samuel Dunbar, Jonathan Mayhew, John Zugli, John Allen, Isaac Butkus, John Wesley, John Witherspoon, Samuel Cooper, Henry Cummings. There's even a few anonymous sermons in this. But as you read through these sermons, the political sermons of the America founding era, 1730 to 1805, you will find out that the American pulpit was instrumental in the formation of our great nation. And as you read the sermons of Whitfield, Wesley, Mather, Fletcher, Edwards, Webster, and scores of others, you will learn many things. And this is what we will learn going through the proclamation from John Hancock. Number one, America was preached as being the new Israel with all the covenant blessings attendant to its kingdom preeminence coming into view. Number two, the manifest destiny, the nationalism of that day is easily equated to the exceptionalism of the shining city on a hill to which modern politicians, pundits refer. Number three, clarity of the gospel is totally lacking, even in messages from the most renowned of preachers. Number four, no evidence of separation of church and state was evident, even in sermons contemporary with Jefferson, Paine, and Franklin. Number five, the skill and proficiency with the English language exhibited in these sermons is something of a lost art, worthy of reclamation. And number six, because we are dispensational, we can see what they missed and understand the often wrong thinking they promulgated, thinking which became ensconced in our founding documents and our evaluation expectation of what America should be and become. An excellent way to better understand the value of King James Bible-believing Mid-Acts Pauline dispensationalism is to read and discern how the great ones miss truth by failing to be Pauline. And if you hadn't noticed, my new, on my contact email page, I posted a new email from someone who calls themselves Sons of Abraham. Now, if you call yourself a son of Abraham, it's clearly that you miss Pauline truth. It's clearly that you don't understand the church, the body of Christ, and you will easily think, just like our American founding fathers in the American founding era, you will think you're Israel, you'll think you're the shining hill, and you will think that Jesus is talking to you and all the promises that he made to Israel under the law and covenant is for you, thus making yourself an enemy of the gospel of the grace of God. That's pretty horrible when you think about it. But again, another benefit to seeing where we came from is discerning how we got to where we are and why some modern political and evangelical ideas, although popular, are just plain wrong and won't work. Again, if you did not know about the political sermons of the American founding era, no different than if you go through church history, you will ask yourself, where is the church, the body of Christ? Everybody is either in the church in the wilderness back with Moses, or they're with Peter in the church at Jerusalem, which is the church at Pentecost. Nobody, I'm going to say 90%, okay, I'll give the 10% the benefit of the doubt, 90% fail to see Jesus Christ and the revelation of the mystery, Romans 16:25, Ephesians 3:9. And because they fail to see and preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, they will teach and preach 95% of the Bible, which is all about Israel, not the body of Christ, and think they belong there, and think that all the promises that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to Israel is for them today, and they place themselves back under the weak and beggarly, the law covenant, which ministers death, which is dung, and they will get mad at people like myself who preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery and preach the church, the body of Christ, which is in place today. The church, the body of Christ, has absolutely nothing to do with Israel, nothing to do with prophecy, nothing to do with Jesus and his earthly ministry when he became God manifest in the flesh. It has absolutely nothing to do with Israel's prophetic program and Jesus and his earthly ministry. And when you fail to understand that, and when you fail to rightly divide, and when you fail to have a King James 1769 Bible, God's perfect word, you will fail to preach and teach the church, the body of Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery. So as we continue this series, and I'm going to post this series on both channels, like I said, we're going to take a break from difficult saints and who is the circumcision and uncircumcision. And we are going to dissect John Hancock's proclamation on Thanksgiving Day, 1791, and see for yourself if the church, the body of Christ, is in this proclamation. Thanks again for listening. And by the way, if you are celebrating Thanksgiving today, my prayer is that you would be thankful for God's unspeakable gift. The Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins on Calvary's cross, was buried and rose again on the third day to pay for all your sins. You trust his payment for your sins, your soul is saved. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4 is the gospel of the grace of God that saves your never dying soul today. And it's only proclaimed, declared by our Apostle Paul according to the revelation of the mystery, Romans 16:25. Thanks again. And if you have not subscribed to my YouTube channels, please do that today. Subscribe to my bookstore blog. We're going through a new series on that. And we're going to ask the question about the new translations. Where is Jesus? Because he's not in those new translations. And you will see for yourself. Thanks again for listening. And stay tuned for more on John Hancock's proclamation.